I want to be a TikTok, Instagram biker girly so bad. I want to buy, I'm going to need to buy like cameras for what I'm writing, but I want to post motorcycle content so bad. Biker girly so bad.
I think I want to start doing like bookie stuff.
Oh, you know, be a like book talk girl and I'll be your book talk boyfriend. Yeah. Oh my god, I wish I had a biker boyfriend. Hey guys, welcome to Insomniacs, the podcast where we talk about all things true crime, supernatural, and mysterious. I'm Char.
And I'm Ashley, and these are the scary stories that keep us up at night. And this story that I'm doing today has actually been a story that a friend of mine suggested that I cover. Like, she suggested it probably a handful of months ago.
Oh, yeah?
Yes. So I had kept it in the back burner. She told me that she didn't really know too much about it, but she's heard a little bit about it. It's a little bit creepy. It's a little bit spooky. She thought it would be good for us to cover. So this is a shout out to Brittany, because she is the one. she's the one who told me about the story. And so I decided to finally check it out, and it's there's some creep factor to it, for sure.
Okay. I like creepy stories, for sure.
So this is a story about a ghost town, an abandoned village in Connecticut.
Yes.
There's some beliefs that it might be cursed. It might be haunted. It's definitely unsettling.
I like that. Go on.
So we are going to cover today the cursed town, or the cursed village of Dudleytown.
Dudley Town. Is this like Harry Potter related?
Not Harry Potter related.
Shout out to my Harry Potter fans.
Hey,
what's up?
I'm a Hufflepuff. What are you?
I'm actually a Slytherin.
That makes sense why we're friends. That fits. Every Slytherin has a Hufflepuff friend.
Yeah, I gotta keep one in my back pocket, you know? Have you done the app where you housed your cats?
I have not. I haven't done that. I've like seen it and I've thought about it. Mm. I feel like Penny is probably a Gryffindor. Mm-hmm. She's very, I feel like she would very much just throw herself into any situation. I feel like Merlin might be a Hufflepuff like me. Mm-hmm. And I think Delia gives me Ravenclaw vibes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Her attitude.
Or Slytherin. She might be Slytherin.
Slytherin. Yeah. She might be mine. Well, yeah. Anyway.
That's such a millennial thing to talk about. Oh my God.
It is. I don't care. This is my Roman Empire. Anyway, Dudleytown.
Anyway, Dudleytown. So Dudleytown is an abandoned settlement in northwestern Connecticut, hence why my friend Brittany let me know, because she's from Connecticut. It is located in a valley that's kind of nestled in the mountains of the Appalachians. So it's known as Dark Entry Forest.
That sounds ominous.
Mm-hmm. And that's because it's surrounded by mountains. And so the mountains cause it to kind of perpetually be in this kind of shadow. It's a very dark area of the forest. Mm. Hence why it's called Dark Entry Forest.
Of course you're gonna see some spooky shit. Mm-hmm. Sounds like the perfect place for spooky shit to happen.
Right. But also, like I said, it's nestled in the Appalachian Mountains in Litchfield County, Connecticut. The Appalachian Mountains are almost scarily old. They have been on this earth for almost as long as the earth has been here. You can trace back kind of like if you believe in the like supercontinent and how the continents have broken apart because of tectonic plates and things like that. Appalachian Mountains on the East Coast, and then the mountains, I think the Himalayan Mountains, or I don't know geography, but there's
the Himalayan mountains are not on this continent.
No. I know, but you can almost like fit them together if you like move the continent.
Oh,
back.
I see. Yeah.
The Appalachians are very, 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 very old. And they kind of get this, from people who are not from the area, they kind of get this reputation as being kind of a dinky little mountain range because they're kind of eroded down. They're not super tall like the Rocky Mountains are.
Yeah. I was just going to say, it makes me think of like how they can determine how old some areas are based on digging up the soil and the layers of the soil. Mm-hmm. I love that scientific approach to figuring out
this. Exactly. So, and the Appalachians are incredibly old. And the reason why they're not tall and pointy and jaggy like the Rocky Mountains are is because the Rocky Mountains are a lot newer. And so they haven't been eroded down to the point where the Appalachians are. Anyway, away from that, because the Appalachians are so old, there's a lot of stories of creepy ass things going on there. Things that aren't understood, maybe spirits, maybe animals we don't know about.
You know what we should do a podcast on is that haunted forest that people aren't allowed to go to in like Japan.
Oh, yes.
That's a good one. That's what it reminds me of, whatever you're talking about right now. I forgot what that one's called. We're going to have to talk about that.
Yes. Too. So it's nestled in the Appalachian Mountains. And like I said, if there's one thing we know about Appalachian Mountains, it's that they're old, they're creepy, they're inhabited by things we don't understand. Anyone who's from the area, they know you don't fuck with the Appalachians.
God damn, I'm from California. So I'm just like, what's going to happen if I fuck with it?
Oh, bad things.
I'm going to find out.
Bad things, let me tell you. So Dudleytown was settled in the early 1740s by a man named Thomas Griffiths. He's not really important. We're not going to talk about him again. But it was settled in the 1740s. So Dudleytown isn't actually a town. It's more of a settlement that is an offshoot of a portion of Cornwall, which Cornwall is the larger town incorporated. And then Dudleytown was a plot of land kind of as an offshoot of that. So Thomas Griffiths was the first one to kind of settle the area of Dudleytown. And then he was shortly followed by Gideon Dudley. And by 1753, several other members of the Dudley family also settled there, hence why it ended up being called Dudleytown. So that's sort of the origination story, right? So Dudleytown was converted from forest, it was very forested, to farmland, although like it really wasn't the best for farming. The soil was kind of rocky. It was kind of a swampy area.
They converted a forest into farmland?
Mm-hmm.
Or they tried?
They tried.
Oh, okay.
Like, they got some farming done. It just wasn't excellent. But sure. What the area was really well known for was lumber. So they had a pretty successful timber industry. And also, pretty soon, iron was discovered in the soil there as well. There was a pretty successful iron industry there as well. However, when more fertile and spacious land opened up in the west and the local iron industry wound down, the population began to kind of decline until Dudleytown was eventually completely and entirely abandoned.
Everyone went to the west so that they can find gold in California. Mm-hmm.
Since the mid-1920s, the land occupied by the village has been maintained by philanthropists and is currently in a private land trust. So there's really, at this point, there's only a few traces left. You go there, there's maybe some crumbling stone walls. There's some cellars you can kind of see. Really, that's all that's left of the village at this point.
I have a question.
Yes.
It's just the Appalachian, the mountains, the forest. I have this fascination with hiking the Appalachian Trail. Yeah. That goes through Connecticut, right? Mm-hmm. Is that nearby? I don't know. I just wanted to know about the Appalachian Trail.
Yeah. Pretty much all of the mountains that are in New England are part of the Appalachians. Okay. So like when I talk about going to the White Mountains, those mountains are part of the Appalachians.
I want to hike that trail so bad. Not all of it maybe, but like a little bit.
By the 1920s, early 1900s, it was pretty much entirely abandoned. By the 1920s, it's been owned by a private land trust. And there's nothing left. There's some cellar holes. There's some crumbling stone walls. But that's pretty much it. So why do we care? Why am I talking about a standard, run-of-the-mill, abandoned, pre-colonial village?
Has some weird shit happened?
Yes, some weird shit has happened here. So Dudleytown is said to be haunted, maybe even cursed.
Oh, I like that.
Mm-hmm. The curse is blamed for instances of crop failures and mental illness, as well as several supposed violent deaths in the village, disappearances, cases of people going insane. Very strange.
Randomly, huh?
Yeah, just, you know. Well, the problem is that it's believed that the curse originated with the Dudley family.
What the fuck did they do?
Remember how I said that the area was originally settled by Thomas Griffiths, but then several members of the Dudley family eventually followed?
Yeah.
So it's believed that the Dudleys are the ones who brought the curse with them. And that's because supposedly in the year 1510, an ancestor of the Dudley family was beheaded for being involved in a plot to overthrow King Henry VIII.
Really?
Yes. So he was found guilty of plotting and trying to plot a treasonous overthrow. And so he was beheaded, which we all know King Henry loved to behead people.
Yeah, that's his favorite pastime.
Supposedly, a curse was at that time placed on the family, which stated that all the Dudley descendants would be surrounded by horror and death.
Wait. I'm just... Who cursed them?
I don't know. It didn't say. At the point, they were beheaded for treason and cursed. It didn't say who cursed them.
Oh, okay. So... they're just on the naughty list forever because they tried to overthrow or help with conspiring to overthrow King Henry VIII.
Exactly.
So fuck their whole lineage. Timeline of relatives.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yep.
I mean, so, that sounds fair.
And honestly, so this happened in 1510. To be fair, the Dudleys then began to experience a rather disquieting run of bad luck, to say the least.
Oh, that's not good.
The Dudley that was beheaded for treason, his name was Edmund. Now, Edmund's son, John, didn't learn from his father's mistakes because he then attempted to control the British throne by arranging for his own son to marry Lady Jane Grey, who was next in line for the crown. Unfortunately, Lady Jane Grey had very bad luck with trying to become Queen of England because she only became queen for a short period of time before that plan failed and ended with the execution of Lady Jane and both Dudleys, so John and John's son. So you have Edmund, who was beheaded by King Henry VIII. Then you have Edmund's son, John, who was like, you know, my dad just, he didn't quite understand, so I'm going to have my son marry Lady Jane Grey, the next queen. And we'll be good. Lady Jane Grey was overthrown, I think, within weeks of becoming queen. And Lady Jane Grey, John, and John's son were all executed. Additionally, John's other son at that time was an officer in the military. So when he returned from France, he brought home a plague that spread to other officers and troops, and the sickness wiped out massive numbers of British soldiers and eventually spread throughout the country, potentially killing thousands of people.
What an asshole.
So you have someone beheaded, you have another person executed for supporting the wrong queen, and then you have the third person who was trying to stay out of politics, just was in the military and just spread the plague to the entire countryside.
Yeah, that's rough.
Yeah. So it's understandable that people would believe that the Dudleys were cursed. They experienced a string of bad luck.
Yeah, I would say so.
Yes.
Lady Jane Grey, what did she do?
British monarchy history is so convoluted and confusing. She's known as the 9 days queen. Like I said, she was queen for less than 2 weeks before she was executed.
Damn, that sucks.
So needless to say, Dudley's not having great luck with the British monarchy.
No.
Eventually, descendants of these Dudleys would leave England, go to America, and settle in Dudley Town.
I don't blame them. I would too.
So, like I said, Dudley Town did thrive for a bit. It had a pretty good timber industry. They burned the timber to make wood coal. They also would send it out for shipbuilding and to make masts, things like that. Iron ore was used from the area for a time as well, and they actually had 3 water-powered mills. So for a short period of time, the town, relatively prosperous, especially for being as small right. as it was. However,
was not to last.
It was not, because despite the outward signs of prosperity, there were numerous strange deaths and bizarre occurrences at Dudley Town.
That's just coincidental.
Are you sure? Are you sure?
No.
So before we get into it, I'm glad you started talking about that, because the first note I have here is, before we get into all the strange shit that happened, I want to discuss how some historians try to play down these occurrences.
Okay.
Okay.
As they do, I feel like they do that.
Right. They'll say how few people there ever were who lived there. To be fair, it was a very sparsely populated. At its height, only around 26 families ever settled in Dudley Town. Then they'll try and downplay the disappearances, the cases of insanity, the weird deaths, as if those types of things happen all the time. And maybe they do, but there was only 26 families at its height. And within those 26 families, again and again and again and again, weird things were happening. And it seems to me a little bit odd that in such a sparsely populated area, like 10 deaths in a city, no big deal. 10 deaths when there are 30 people, much bigger deal, right?
Did they have medicines and like treatments like they would have had and like they would have had in like a populated city with doctors and stuff?
So they would have had to travel out. They would have pretty much had to travel outside of Dudley Town for anything. So they had to travel outside of Dudley Town to go to the market. They had to travel outside of Dudley Town when people died. So for funerals or for churches, or there was not a lot of stuff in Dudley Town.
I'm curious about when you go into this into detail. I have some questions.
Okay.
I'll just wait until then.
Historians will try to downplay the case of disappearance, the cases of insanity, and the weird deaths as if things like that happen all the time. And they'll say in larger towns, the numbers of disappearances and deaths and other weird things wouldn't be considered as strange. To be fair, probably not. However, in my opinion, because Dudley Town was so small, that makes the number of strange occurrences even more notable. Besides the strange deaths that have occurred, there's been a number of disappearances, and an inordinate amount of people went insane in this area.
Secluded area, not a lot of people. I don't know. We'll dive in and we'll see. I have a different opinion of it, maybe.
You always have
different opinions. I might be. I think that's what makes us special. We have to have different interests and opinions about things. Otherwise, it would be boring.
Exactly. Most of the Dudleys did eventually leave the area, most of the original Dudleys did eventually leave the area. But the one who stayed ended up losing his entire fortune. The town took all of his property to cover his debts. And he eventually went senile before dying, to be fair, at the ripe old age of 90, which is very old.
He died at 90? Holy shit.
However, residents would gossip about Dudley's strange beliefs. He would often talk about strange, shadowy creatures he witnessed coming out of the woods.
So he's schizophrenic.
He would tell anyone who would listen that the creatures were a danger to everyone in the town.
He had visual and auditory hallucinations.
In 1792, a friend of the Dudleys, Hollister, was violently killed.
Property grab.
Couldn't figure out what happened or why. However, the neighbor whose property Hollister was killed on, he claimed it was these strange creatures who had come out of the woods who killed Hollister. There are stories that would circulate in town that he told other villagers about strange creatures that came out of the woods at night. And so he said it was these strange creatures who killed Hollister.
Oh, so he was seeing them too.
Mm-hmm. Just keep Hollister in mind. We'll come back to him.
Okay.
So that was in 1792. a little bit before that, 1759. I didn't really do this chronologically. I did this in the order I found them in articles. But in 1759, the Carter family moved to Dudley Town, and they moved into a house that was previously owned by a Dudley. However, a few years later, a mysterious plague swept through Dudley Town. It took many lives of the Carter family. So most of the Carter family dead from a plague.
Because they bought a Dudley home?
I don't know. Potentially, they moved to Dudley Town. It was allegedly cursed. They bought a Dudley home. Most of them were taken out by the plague. The surviving members, still mourning their loss, decided to leave the town in 1763. So they were only there for 4 years. This all happened in 4 years from move in to move out. Now, okay, plagues happened a lot in the 15, 16, 1700s, whatever, right? So these Carters, mourning their loss, they decide to settle in the Delaware wilderness. So in what's now Delaware, it was more unsettled at that time. However, they were soon attacked by Native Americans.
That's normal.
The Native Americans allegedly slaughtered the father of the family, his wife, and infant child.
That's pretty common.
His other three children were then kidnapped by the Native Americans, where his two daughters were ransomed and his son married a Native American woman.
That I don't think that's uncommon.
No, but it is a lot of misfortune to fall upon a family. Coincidentally, after moving to Dudley Town, coincidentally, after living in a Dudley home. Who's to say?
Sure.
But the next tragedy happened to one of Dudley Town's most famous residents, General Herman Swift, who served in the Revolutionary War under George Washington.
Oh.
Mm-hmm. In 1804, his wife was struck by lightning and killed while standing on her front porch.
Don't be standing on your front porch in a lightning storm, you dumbass bitch.
Herman, not too long after that, went insane and died soon after.
Oh, that sucks, though.
It does.
That is unfortunate. Struck by lightning is not an occurrence that happens that often.
No, especially not if you're sitting on your front porch. Because typically, lightning is going to strike the tallest thing, right? That's why trees mm-hmm. get struck. That's why
she had to have some kind of metal.
Maybe. Potentially, but it's very unusual. Conductor.
That sucks.
I've definitely sat on a porch during a lightning storm to watch lightning because I feel safe on a porch.
I don't think they. When did they invent electricity? This is way off topic. I just feel like they probably didn't understand how dangerous that was. Just like, when did Benjamin Franklin invent that shit in the 1800s?
Let's see.
That is not pertinent to this story. I am just curious.
So June 10th, 1752, Benjamin Franklin took a kite out during a storm to see if a key attached to a string would draw an electrical charge.
Sure did.
But electricity wasn't really used until we're talking 1800s, like in homes.
Thomas Edison.
Right. Anyway, not the point of the story.
It's not. His wife, Sean, you can edit this completely out, but I'm just fascinated by it. So his wife, she was unfortunately at her demise because she stood on the porch, got struck by lightning, and he went insane
and died soon after. So if we are keeping track, the records have now indicated three people have gone insane in the space of less than half a century in a very, very sparsely populated area.
Well, he was grieving. His wife died.
But his wife died in a very, very... The probability of being struck by lightning is so minuscule. It's not that it doesn't happen, but it's such a minuscule... It's not like she's standing in the middle of a field being like, come to me.
Right.
You know, just weird. After the Civil War, Dudley Town began to die, and many of the villagers simply packed up and moved away.
Fuck this place. This place is cursed.
In 1901, one of the last residents of the town was a man named John Patrick Brophy, and he experienced a string of very bad luck.
Uh-oh.
First, his wife died of consumption. tuberculosis, as we know from the Mercy Brown case. Then, a short time after her funeral, his two children vanished into the forest. They were never seen again.
What the fuck were they doing in the forest? Looking for, like, Hansel and Gretel situation?
Nobody knows. Gone forever. Okay. Then, his house burned down to the ground in an unexplained fire. And finally...
Oh, it doesn't end there. Okay, but there's more!
But wait, there's more. Not long after the fire, Brophy himself also vanished in the forest and was never seen again.
What the fuck is with this forest?
Wouldn't we all like to know?
Huh.
Within a period of months, his wife died. That was not unexpected. She had been sick. So, not unexpected, but okay. His wife died. His two children disappeared not long after the funeral. His house burned to the ground in a fire that they could not explain. And then he disappeared.
I would run away, too, if all that shit happened to me.
That was in 1901.
What a great time to be alive.
I know. Around that same time, a man named Dr. William Clark had come to the area. He and his wife were kind of looking for a nice area to maybe build a vacation home, a little summer home, if you will.
What a privilege to think about a vacation home.
Right? A little just escape from the hustle and bustle of New York City life. And Dr. William Clark kind of fell in love with the area surrounding Dudleytown. It was super sparsely populated. It was very forested. It was very wild.
Peace and quiet.
Mm. Exactly. And he thought, what a beautiful, perfect place for me to build my home. My second home. My vacation home. So he started looking for local buyers or local builders to see about building his home. And no local builders were interested in taking the contract. Nobody wanted to build him a home. They all told him to go pound grass.
What does that mean?
I don't know. I think it's pound pavement. Is pound pavement the right one? They all told
I have
him
never
to
heard
pavement.
Of that either.
They all told him to fuck off.
That one I know.
They all told him there's no fucking way we're building anything in that godforsaken forest. Figure it out yourself. And he thought, oh, well, that's weird. It's weird that nobody wants to build my house for me. But maybe it's just because locals don't want us city folk coming in and infringing
nobody wants
upon
to work
their,
anymore.
Their country life. Right. So he goes, that's fine. I'll just build it myself. And he and his wife spent I didn't look at how long it took them, but they would come on weekends and vacations and they would slowly start building their own, building a little country home, a little cabin kind of log house. And eventually it was completed.
How big was it? I'm just curious.
Now. So the house, I don't know exactly how big the house is. He purchased 100 acres of land, including Dudleytown. And so he started his
own. Wow, he had money.
Yeah, he had money. He was a doctor. He was a well-respected doctor. He was.
Who knows how to build cabins. Okay.
Well off. He and his wife would visit the house on weekends and during the summer until construction was complete. And then they continued to use it, like I said, as a second home or sort of vacation home over the next few years. But one summer in 1918, Dr. Clark and his wife were visiting their lovely country estate. Not an estate. Their country home. When Dr. Clark was called away back to New York on an emergency. His wife stayed behind because she was like, no, honey, it's totally fine. Just go do your thing in New York. Come back. Not that far. It's 100 miles-ish from where that was. So, you know, not Connecticut and New York aren't very far away. So he gets called back to New York. His wife stays behind. Dr. Clark returns 36 hours later. He was gone for less than 2 days.
Mm-hmm.
However, when he leaves his wife, she's perfectly fine. He comes back to the town. He gets to the house. The front door is ajar, which is concerning.
Uh-oh.
Yes. He walks into this home. It's to a very disconcerting experience because all he hears is a shrill, very uncomfortable sounding laughter coming from their bedroom.
Nope.
Mm-hmm.
Nope.
Yep.
And he
calls out to his wife and she doesn't answer, but he knows he's never heard this laugh. He's never heard the sound before, but he knows it's his wife. And he gets into the bedroom and she is shrilly laughing. Can't stop. She has like several of the residents before her, in the 36 hours he was away, gone insane.
Yeah, that sounds like some Blair Witch bullshit.
Mm-hmm. Never could really figure out exactly what happened, but he did get bits and pieces of information from her, and she claimed that strange creatures came out of the forest and attacked her. She committed suicide shortly after.
Nope.
Yep.
Nope. You lost me at door was ajar and he heard laughing.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Nope. Mm-hmm. Well, I'm going to go back to New York. Bye. Oh, that's really sad. She committed suicide? Yeah.
Oh, no. What happened in those 36 hours? That is a day and a half.
What are these creatures that keep popping up?
Because now we're hearing multiple people across the years talking about these strange creatures. This is in 1918. 1918, yeah. She's talking about creatures. People have been talking about these strange creatures since the 1700s.
Yeah. It's wild.
Yes.
Maybe I don't want to go hiking in the Appalachian Mountains. You know?
Right. And that brings us to the stories of ghosts. What about the haunted nature of the forest? I think we've established it feels like there's evidence to support it might be cursed. There might be some level of negative energy in this area.
Yeah.
Visitors to the ruins of the village began to speak of strange incidents and wispy apparitions in the woods. This started probably around the 1940s or so. Then, the Warrens, you know the Warrens.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. They investigate all the paranormal activities mm-hmm. that are going on. They have thousands of cases that they investigated.
Exactly.
For people who don't know who they are, they're a married couple and they're a Christian couple.
I doubt they're, maybe. They're always talking about how yeah. things are demonically possessed.
Yeah. So, yeah, they're very famous paranormal investigators back in their day.
Back in their day. To be fair, though, there's a lot of controversy around, like, how legitimate they actually are. There's a quote that says, like, Ed Warren has never walked into a house that wasn't haunted.
Yeah. But their story is still fascinating. But, yeah, so the Warrens investigated.
So the Warrens filmed a Halloween special from Dudley Town in the early 1970s. Yeah.
I didn't know that.
They declared it officially demonically possessed, quote unquote. And Ed Warren said that Dudley Town was, quote, controlled by something terrifying.
Also, if you don't know as well, probably should mention this too. They're in the Conjuring movies. Well, not yes, them.
They're very big on like the Amityville horror, like the Amityville mm-hmm. house. They're very big in that story. They'll pop up in some of our future episodes.
Yeah, their story is interesting. But
very much so.
So they declared it
demonically possessed and, quote, controlled by something terrifying.
I think it's fair that whoever said that quote about they didn't go somewhere where it wasn't demonic. Like, if there was some strange occurrence, like if you were to say to them, come to my home, mm-hmm. there's some strange shit happening. And they'd be like, you're right.
Yes, exactly.
It is haunted. There's demons here. So. Anyway,
not, who knows?
Sean, you can edit that out, but I'm not trying to shit on them because. But anywhere they went, it was demonic. But like demonic happenings or some kind of ghost. Evil is here. Mm.
Evil has entered this home.
Mm-hmm.
So Ed Warren believes that an ancestor of the Dudleys was an English judge who sentenced many to death for witchcraft, which resulted in the family curse.
Oh, we're talking about witchcraft now.
Yeah, I don't know. I couldn't find any evidence of that at all.
No.
But Ed Warren says that an ancestor of the Dudleys was an English judge who sentenced people to death.
How does he know that?
I couldn't tell you. That's what Ed Warren says, though. And that's what resulted in the family curse. A witch did it.
Of course they're going to blame a witch. Blame the women. I'm just kidding.
Then, in 1983... a camera crew traveled to Dudley Town to tell the story of the settlement. Just a sort of like a little fun fact segment, right? They were like, let me just tell you about this fun little town that's, you know, abandoned now, but it has some cool little history. However, when they began trying to film, they found that none of their film equipment worked while they were trying to film in the ruins, although it had worked perfectly fine, supposedly, when they were not in the ruins of the Dudley Town.
Interesting.
The director of the film crew also became violently ill while trying to tell the story of the village on camera.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
So like it was he like, didn't have some bad sushi the night before?
It was like something did not want them filming or telling the story.
Huh. Interesting.
Now, hikers and other visitors have reported seeing orbs flying around the area while hiking through. Some visitors also claim that the area is very tranquil. And by tranquil, I mean it does not have any wildlife at all. It's silent. There are no birds. Oh,
that's creepy.
There are no insects. There's no animals scuttling through the woods. There's nothing.
That's weird.
Right? Very strange.
You go into a forest, there's no birds, there's no...
Nothing.
You're running around, there's no bunnies.
Nope. Why? It's silent. It's quiet. There's nothing Ooh. There. What's scaring all the animals away?
Mm-hmm. Ghosts.
Maybe, because those who have visited Dudley Town report overwhelming feelings of terror, mysterious lights, sights and sounds, and even of being pushed, touched, scratched, or slapped by unseen nope. hands.
Nope.
No, thank you. No, thank
I'm
you.
Good.
I am so incredibly all set. Thank you. Some people have also become sick after visiting the area. Headaches, nausea, dizziness, and even temporary memory loss have been reported.
Really?
Yeah.
That's weird.
Yes. It's
I wouldn't so even want to go there just to figure, like, just, I wouldn't even want to go there. Just, I don't want symptoms like that.
I know.
Thanks.
It's, oh gosh. Some paranormal researchers refer to the area as a negative power spot or a place where entities enter this world from the other side. They say that this may explain the strange events in Dudley Town's history, like the eerie reports, the strange creatures, and perhaps even the outbreaks of insanity and madness. Now, the release and popularity of the Blair Witch Project in 1999 kind of shot Dudley Town back up into popularity yeah. again.
It sounds like that's what I said. Blair Witch exactly. vibes.
So that prompted even more people to take an interest in Dudley Town. The area saw a huge uptick in tourists who were trying to experience any sort of ghostly activity for themselves. Nowadays, the land, including Dudley Town, is privately owned, and it is illegal to trespass on that land and visit the ruins. It is officially illegal to visit Dudley Town. So actually, do you remember Dr. William Clark?
The guy whose wife
went insane. So because yeah. he owns those 1,000 acres, including Dudley Town, he turned it into sort of a conservation area. And so he's the one who's kind of maintained that trust and built it up. And so now it's privately owned by like an environmental trust. But it's illegal to visit. Some people will say it's illegal to visit because it's environmentally protected. Other people say, what are they trying to hide from us? Why aren't we allowed to visit there? What is there that they don't want us to see?
That's where you come with the paranoid conspiracy theorist.
Is the place so haunted that they've had to make it illegal to visit?
Remains to be seen.
It remains to be seen. Let's go back to some of the beginning stories, shall we? And just kind of talk about, maybe it's cursed, maybe it's not. But let's kind of go back to the beginning, okay? All right, so we had the member of the Dudley family, the original Dudley, who eventually lost his whole fortune and then supposedly went insane, was talking about the shadow creatures that were in the woods. The town took all of his property to cover his debts, and he eventually went senile and insane, quote unquote, before he died at 90. But like I said, he died at 90, which to be fair is very, very old for someone in the 1790s. So
yeah, it is.
Did he go insane or did he just go senile?
I think he went senile. I think that they were probably just wanting his property and they put him out of there, and you're 90, so you don't have like a whole lot of control right. over what you can do. He's probably relying on others. I think you know my stance.
Yeah.
on it being a curse or not.
I will say he's one of the first people to claim to make the claims about the strange creatures coming out of the woods. And we see that again and again.
Oh, yeah, that's weird.
You know,
that part is weird. That's a little fishy.
Now, the friend of the Dudleys, Hollister, the one who was killed, and his neighbor whose land he was working on said it was strange creatures who came out of the woods and killed him. That neighbor, he was also reported to have gone insane, although, again, that might just be the 1700s description of going senile, because according to one of my sources, this neighbor lived until he was 104 years old.
That is unheard of.
And according to those records, he was, quote, slightly demented at the time of his death.
Well, I would be too.
Also fair. Also, Hollister wasn't killed. He fell from a rafter while building a barn for the neighbor.
That's crazy that they lived that long.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, in medical terms, that's unheard of.
Unheard of.
So I don't think it was because of spooky magic or curses that he was able to live that long. That's just a medical miracle.
Again, the weird thing is he also talked about these strange creatures coming from the woods, but he blamed the death on these creatures, whereas the neighbor supposedly fell from the rafters of the barn and died.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. The strange creatures, yeah, that's weird.
It's weird that it comes up again and again. That's the thing that does keep getting me. The living to 90 and being a little senile, living to 104 and being senile. That's
fine.
That's old age. But the fact that these shadowy creatures keep popping up from the woods, that's the weird thing.
Either they're all schizophrenic.
With the same exact hallucination.
Undiagnosed. I don't know. They didn't take into consideration mental impairments. I don't know. I can't explain it. It is weird, though.
The Carters, who most of the family or the family were killed by Native Americans, allegedly, and the other children were kidnapped. Again, they moved to the Delaware wilderness that was well known to be populated by Native Americans. Native American attacks were not unusual because they were fighting for their fucking lives.
Yeah.
And also, the son who married the Native American woman, he grew up to be a Supreme Court justice or something ridiculous like that. So he lived a good life.
Yeah.
The daughters were ransomed, but the son was a Supreme Court justice or something crazy like that.
Yeah.
I didn't make a full note of it in my notes because I wasn't sure if I was going to go over it or not. But again, cursed or just you settled in the middle of Native American territory, you dummy.
I think it's number two. You dumbass.
Now, the area of Dudley Town itself, like I said, is in the Appalachians, right? It's also in an area that's known to have been sacred land for the Mohawk tribes. So could there be weird shit going on there? Could there have been curses placed on the land when white man started taking over? Who knows? That feels sometimes like a very whitewashed version or whitewashed way to make sense of colonial settlers just being fucking dumb and taking land from the original owners, you know?
Right.
But all to be said, one of the things that I did as I watched a podcast episode or listened to a podcast episode after I did my research, a fantastic podcast. It's called Real Life Ghost Stories. They are Scottish or Irish. I couldn't place the exact accents, but from the UK. And so they did an episode on Dudley Town, and she had ended it with kind of talking about some interesting takes that I wanted to kind of discuss as well. So she had mentioned that I thought was really interesting that a lot of these, we've talked about the Appalachians, they're old, they're creepy, they're shit there that we don't understand.
Yeah.
But also a lot of these stories seem like almost cautionary tales that are being told to children to stay out of the woods. These strange creatures that are coming out of the woods, they're making people go insane. These kids that are disappearing in the woods. A lot of it seems like very cautionary tales of don't go traipsing through the woods or the shadow creatures will get you.
Have you seen The Village?
No.
I've asked you this before. You should watch The Village.
Okay.
Yeah.
But so a lot of it seems like maybe some cautionary tales that were told to children that were then taken out of context or over exaggerated.
Mm-hmm.
But you know, between it being the Appalachians and between the multiple instances of multiple people across several years talking about these strange creatures coming out of the woods, that seems very odd to me. But then also the experiences of people seeing the ghost orbs, of people being slapped or hit or scratched or pushed by unseen hands, that's real creepy to me. I don't love that.
Yeah, I think the other things can be explained. The lifespans of people and natural selection occurrences, being struck by lightning, what are the odds that it happens? And I think that death occurred more easily back then than it is now. We have warning labels on things, even though some people ignore it. But the strange creatures and the being touched or shoved is weird.
Yes.
But I think the other things can be maybe explained.
Maybe explained away. It is a lot of misfortune to happen in a single area in a small population of people. And I'm very okay with saying, like, this is weird and uncomfy, and you will not find me visiting the Dudley Town ruins.
You can't anyway.
Yeah. I'm not really a lawbreaker anyway, so wouldn't have done it in the first place, but if it was legal, yeah, you would not find me there. Would be there with a Ouija board.
I don't know if I would
want
to go there.
It's a little bit too unsettling for you.
I don't want to go there and experience something and be alone. I want someone to go with me.
The health things too, like the people who experience getting sick or the headaches or the memory loss, that's also very weird.
Yeah, I don't know if that's normal.
I don't think it is.
For someone to go to somewhere specifically and then have those physical symptoms.
Right.
Is it coincidental? I don't know.
I don't think so.
I want to see case by case how many people are experiencing these symptoms.
I want numbers.
I want numbers. Were they having
peer reviewed articles?
I do want a peer reviewed article, and I want to know, were they getting treatment? Did they have migraines prior to going? Were they having experiences with seizures? Or I want medical evidence before I believe that they are experiencing it because of this town. Just saying.
And that is the unsettling account of the cursed village of Dudley Town.
I have never heard of that one before. So shout out to Brittany.
Yeah, I hadn't heard of it either until Brittany told me about it. And I was reading and watching things about it. It was very creepy last night while I was doing this.
I respect that it's on a, it's the premise, not premises, the property or the land is reserved.
Yes.
And preserved in nature. But man, it would be cool to kind of, if they made it a touristy place. But I would not go there like on my own accord,
right?
To like, I'm gonna sneak in there with my Ouija board. No, I wouldn't do that.
Thanks for listening, guys. If you enjoyed this episode, please subscribe, share with others, and leave a review to help more people discover our podcast. We can't wait to keep sharing these spine-chilling stories with you. If you want more information on today's subject, all of my sources are going to be posted in the episode description notes, like always.
Stay up to date on future episodes by following us on Instagram at Insomniacs the Podcast, on Facebook at Insomniacs the Podcast Discussion Group, and finally on TikTok at insomniacs.pod. Don't miss out on all of the latest true crime, supernatural, and super spooky content.
So, what did we learn today, Char?
I don't know. I don't believe in, you know me. I have a hard time in believing.
Skeptic.
I'm a skeptic. I think all that stuff was coincidental. I don't believe in curses. Mm-hmm. I want to. But I think all of that stuff just has to do with the time and the period of, and they didn't have the modern medical knowledge back then. They were treating people with, what is it? Hot blood. Hot blood and draining people's blood to get the bacteria out. And they had all this like crap medical knowledge back then. And so I think that plays into it.
Mm-hmm.
But the creepy sightings, that's hard to explain when you have multiple people seeing multiple things. The story about that guy's wife.
That freaks me out, because what happened in those 36 hours?
Did she have like some kind of undiagnosed disorder and lost her shit? I don't know. And then I don't know if she had like a mental breakdown and just completely lost it and committed suicide. I don't know. I can't explain that.
Something happened in that day and a half. And what could possibly have happened in the day and a half?
But what's her prior medical history? You know?
But also in 1918, she's also talking about these shadow creatures that have been getting talked about since the 1700s. It's crazy.
True. So that can't be explained, and we don't have any detail on the background of these people. Yeah. But I think if we had more information, then maybe I can discern like an explanation.
Yeah. I think the biggest takeaway is don't fuck with the Appalachian Mountains, guys.
Be respectful of nature. And maybe there are creepy ghosts or creepy creatures, and maybe that wife was just a bitch. And I'm just kidding. Maybe she wasn't respectful, and maybe the spirits made her go crazy.
Who knows?
I'm not saying that it's not true just because I don't believe in it or I don't understand it.
Mm-hmm.
And I will maintain that until the day I die.
That's fair. All right, guys. Well, stay spooky.
Stay safe.
And sweet dreams.
Bye.
Good night. I have a train.
I was wondering when the train would come make an appearance.